It's time for another VIP of the Month Spotlight for November 2020. In the spotlight this month is Angela Stow from Alabama to guide us through her inspiring life. Here is our host, Teresa Rose.
Welcome, everyone, to this month's VIP of the month of November. And this month's VIP is our own Angela Stow from Dalton, Alabama. And Angela was born November the 16th, 1964. And welcome, Angela. Congratulations on being the VIP of the month of November.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me. And the city is Dothan, D-O-T-H-A-N, but you were close, but it's so good to be here.
Dothan, my southern accent. Well, good to have you, Angela, and I know we're all looking forward to learning a lot about you. First up, Angela, first question is, tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised.
I was born here in Dothan in what is now Southeast Health, but it was a little bitty hospital. It was called General then. And I was raised in Slocum, though. We moved to Slocum when I was 6 years old. My daddy kind of wanted to be a little bit in the country. And before I moved out, my great-grandparents and my grandparents lived on that same road with us. So it was kind of neat. We had family living on that street, so that's where we raised. Slocum's a small town in Geneva County. It's picking up a little bit now from what it was, but that's where I was born and raised.
I thought Dothan was a mouthful, but Slocum is even more so, and I probably destroyed that. Angela, tell us a little bit about your parents. What'd your mom and dad do for a living?
When I was coming up, mother was a full-time homemaker. She stayed home and took care of us. When I went to college, she was a substitute rural mail carrier. My daddy was a salesman with W.J. Powell Company, and they had a Dothan office, but they were based out of, I can't remember, I want to say Donisonville, but I'm not sure, Georgia, somewhere in Georgia. And I think it was Donisonville, but I'm not sure about that. And then when I got older in college or young adult, he left there and he worked at a funeral home for a little while. And then he retired from Powell and worked at a funeral, or left Powell and worked at a funeral home. And both of them are now retired. But I was lucky in that my mother was able to stay home with us. And you'll find out later why I say that. I'll clarify it later. But not all people can do that these days, and I felt lucky that we could. So,
well, that is awesome to have a stay-home mom. My mom was pretty much stayed home all through our younger years. Talk a little bit about now the company that your dad worked. What type of work did he do for them?
Actually, he was a salesman. He was a sales rep. It was a produce kind of company. It was a food. They sold food in bulk to grocery stores and lunchrooms. They had lunchrooms. He worked lunchrooms in schools and stores and that kind of thing.
Okay. Now, interesting, after he left there, he worked for a funeral home. What was his position at the funeral home?
What do they call it? He wasn't the director, but he learned to embalm, though. But he would wait on families, and he would, you know how they're in the parking lot and direct you where to park and just kind of help with that part of the funeral.
Do you remember any fun stories that your dad came home and told that happened at the funeral home?
No, because I was pretty much grown when he worked there. Not anything interesting. Now, he did tell us, though, he was at this, and I think it's Indians or Muslims or something, and he was talking about how these families created the wife, and they were there during the cremation. He was talking about some of that. I can't remember everything he said. It wasn't funny, but it was how the cultures were so different, and he got to see a different culture.
Wow, now that would definitely be interesting. What about brothers and sisters, Angela?
I have one brother who is younger than I am, and he is sighted.
Okay, what is your brother's name, and where does he live?
His name is Frank Farmer. He was named after my daddy. Robert Frank Farmer Jr. is my brother's name. He lives in Auburn. He is married, and he has two boys and a girl. The oldest boy is Justin, and he is a firefighter, and he just got his bachelor's degree, and he's also paramedic. You know, he's learning that, and he is married just a year now, almost a year, if not a year, pretty close to a year, and she is a speech pathologist. And my second nephew is in college, and my niece is in high school.
Wow. So one sibling, and of course, now you've got nieces and nephews. Awesome. So, Angela, tell us, were you born blind, or did you go blind later in life?
I was born blind, but I had, up until mid-40s, I had enough vision that I could walk around. I could see the difference between the grass and the sidewalk, and I could see somebody in front of me, and I wouldn't bump them. And I started losing my vitreous humor, and those floaters blocked all that in mid-40s. And the reason I started losing it so early, Dr. Thompson said, is because my eyes were long. I was born with optic nerve atrophy.
My next question is, what was the cause of it? So you had optic nerve atrophy. And any other problems there, Angela?
No. My optic nerve just wouldn't develop all the way. And that was it.
So my next question is, were you mainstream school or did you go to the school for the blind?
I went to the school for the blind.
Okay, talk a little bit about that. Tell us what school you went to and talk a little bit about your first years there.
I went to the Alabama School for the Blind in Talladega, Alabama. My parents prepared me for it, so I didn't cry a lot when I went. My first years, the only thing I can really remember is my mother read to me coming up, and I was able to read books for myself. I learned Braille and was able to read. My first few years, that's really all I remember. Another thing I remember, too, and I've been thinking about this. I thought about this even before the interview. This lady took me out of class. Her name was Miss Tatum, and she's real sweet, and she let me sing a solo. And I love to sing. Apparently, she found out I could carry a tune when I was up there. This was my first or second year. So I remember developing my love of singing at the School for the Blind, as well as my love for reading. That's my formative years, the first few years of elementary school.
So, Angela, I'm assuming that you stayed in dorms. Did you go home on the weekends, or how often did you get to go home?
When I was in elementary school, I went home every 2 weeks. Then when I got older, I stayed for wrestling matches. And then my junior year in high school, they had buses that they chartered to take us home, and I went home once a month.
What is your fondest memory of your childhood, Angela?
Wow. I have to think about that one. My fondest memory was not really when I was in a child. It was when I was in high school, my junior year. I got to go to Washington, D.C., and that to me was the highlight of my what I call childhood. That may not be the age you want, but that has to be my most memorable time in my growing up years.
So did you go with your class and you guys went to tour Washington, or exactly what did you do on that trip?
I did go with my class, and you did tour Washington, but it was a thing called close-up. It was back in the 80s, and you went and you learned about government. You were in seminars and you went to see the Smithsonian and all the memorials, but you had debates and you roomed with, like I was in a room with one girl from the School for the Blind, but we also had other roommates too. So there was like four of us to a room. So we got to meet other people and from all across the United States. It was fun, fun, fun.
Did you get to tour the White House while you were there?
Yes.
Well, that would be a fun memory. Awesome. Tell us, Angela, do you use a cane? Are you a cane user or a guide dog user?
I'm a cane user now, and I use sighted guide. But now I did have a guide dog for a few years, and I love that. She made me feel real, real independent.
Did you enjoy school? And what other activities were you involved in your high school years?
I enjoyed the academic part of school. I didn't enjoy the other parts of school. I don't know. I was a Christian growing up. My parents taught me the Bible and everything. And a lot of the kids there were wild. I mean, they were children of hippies. And so I didn't enjoy the school part. I mean, the social part a whole lot. But I did enjoy most subjects. And the activities I was involved in, I was in chorus every year. I love to sing. So I was in chorus. I was in the student government, and I held secretary, treasurer position, class representative, and president. So I was in there, it was in that 3 years, and I was president of the Explorers, an Explorers Club they had started 2 years in a row. Those were the main activities I was in. I was not athletic, and so I enjoyed all the activities I was in, and it really surprised me at the school that they voted for me, because none of them seemed to really like me, because I was straight-laced. I wanted to study, and, you know, I just was not part of the in crowd. But I was told by somebody later who was part of the in crowd that they knew I would take care of stuff. So there's just a lot of stuff that you look back on, and you realize that maybe you were respected more than you thought you were.
Absolutely. Sometimes we don't know what goes on behind the scenes or in people's minds. And a lot of times maybe it's they wish they could have been more like you. During your whole time from early elementary all the way through high school, did you have a favorite teacher? And if so, why?
I had two. I had a favorite teacher and a librarian that made the biggest difference in my life. One teacher that I really loved was Jean Gibson, and she was an English teacher, but she liked to read, and she would read to us in high school at the end of every period. We loved it. We read a couple books that way, and she would recommend good books to me. She liked me, and she'd recommend good books. The librarian that taught me how to use the Kurzweil and some other stuff, she helped me memorize my social security number. That's how I knew my social security number, because she told me I'd need to memorize it. And she found it and repeated it to me until I could memorize that. And she gave me a lot of little life lessons when we were doing the different kinds of Opticon and stuff like that that's obsolete now. But she would give me a lot of life lessons. So I use both of those because both of them played a pivotal role in my life.
That is awesome. Not many people can even pull out one, Angela, and you pulled out two. Angela, did you learn to play a musical instrument, or do you play a musical instrument?
No, I tried to. My parents wanted me to take piano, and it just didn't come natural. I didn't care anything about that, but I love singing. So I didn't learn to do that.
Well, I know the School for the Blind is very popular for a lot of visually impaired students learning some type of musical instrument, so that was why I wanted to ask that question. Angela, how old were you when you first started noticing boys?
I've got to be truthful. I didn't really care that much I just never wanted to date in school. I found one boy I really liked when I was a junior, and he took me to his senior prom, and he was a good friend. But I guess I kind of noticed him at 12 or 13, but they were not really important to me until that friend was in, it was my junior year. And I went to the senior prom, and we were taken by teachers, and it was kind of neat.
Oh, it sounds like it. So this leads up to my famous question. Angela, how old were you when you got your first kiss? And do you remember where you were and his name?
Yes. I didn't let any of the boys kiss me in high school. I didn't get my first kiss till I was 30. See, I told you I was going to surprise you. I was just real particular with myself. And his name was Wayman. And we were in front of my first house that I bought. And that's the one I remember.
Well, they say all good things come to those who wait. So hopefully it was a good one, Angela. After high school you graduated, did you further your education?
Yes, I went to college. I got my bachelor's degree, and then I started working, and I got my master's while I worked. And I got my bachelor's in social work and my master's in agency counseling.
And what college or university did you attend, Angela?
At the time I attended it, it was called Troy State University. Now that it's just called Troy University. I went to the main campus to get my bachelor's degree, and I got my master's at the Dothan campus.
Can you recall anything funny that happened to you during your college years you want to share with us?
Not really. I enjoyed myself, but nothing really funny or strange happened.
Did you work while you were going to college, Angela?
No. It was hard. You know, when you come from a school for the blind background, the college world was different. It was a shock, kind of. The crowds were bigger and the classes were bigger and all that. And they didn't have computers and stuff, so I spent most of my time studying. Now, I did, my friend base in college was the Christian Student Center, which was a Church of Christ Student Center, is what they call themselves, a Christian Student Center, on campus. I knew I would find good people to hang around there, and that is where I really grew spiritually.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Angela?
You know, I couldn't go to youth groups a lot when I was in high school, so I didn't get a lot of experiences that a lot of youths did when they lived at home and you go to your church youth group. And our church was small and didn't have a youth group, so when I went there, they had a campus ministry. They would have Bible studies, but they would also have retreats where you could go on the weekend, and that's where I really grew. We just had a real good youth minister, and they just challenged you to grow. I knew that I could be accepted and God could use me no matter what I did. I kind of found myself spiritually, if that makes any sense. I just knew that I could do something for God when I got out. And I found a group that accepted me because the School for the Blind really didn't.
And that's important. And possibly that's why God led you there, Angela. And it's great that you had that participation to help you grow. Angela, after you left college, where did you first go to work?
Well, I had one job. And I went to the state. I went to work with the state of Alabama. I was joint service between the State of Alabama Department of Rehabilitation Services and the Alabama Institute for the Deaf and Blind. I was what they call joint service or contract, and I was a rehab teacher for the blind and visually impaired, is what they called us then. Now they call them vision rehab therapists. I did that for 28 years, and I loved it. I didn't really want to do that. It's real interesting. When I was in social work, my professor said, "You'll probably wind up working with the blind." I said, "Nope, I don't want to do that. I don't want anything to do with blind. I just want to get away from that, yada, yada, yada." Well, I started applying for jobs and nothing came up. And the lady who had this job said she was leaving. And she said, you need to apply for this job. So I did. And I took it, not because I really wanted it, but because I would stay around the family and, you know, I could stay where I was kind of raised and all. I took it and loved meeting the people and loved going into the homes and all that kind of stuff. I said no, but God had other plans, and it wound up being just an awesome job.
Do you remember one particular student that really stands out that either tugged at your heartstrings or you feel like that you really accomplished helping them meet their goals?
There was this one lady, and I keep thinking about her when I'm asked this question by people. She was a military wife. Now, her husband, I think, had retired and took a regular job, but she was a military wife, and I remember her name to this day. I went in and did a functional assessment on her, and I remember I got down to the library services. Our agency was able to sign people up for it, just like they still do. And when I told her about Books on Tape, she was like, oh, I just am so excited. She said, and it was tape then too, y'all. It wasn't cartridges. It was cassettes. She said, I just miss my reading so much and yada yada. And she was just kind of depressed because she had lost her sight and she had done all this stuff. And when I left her house, we filled out a library application on her. And I can remember the next time I came to see her, she was a different person altogether. Her whole outlook had changed. And I didn't do anything yet but provide her with those library services. And I always used to tell people that you find that one thing they really want to do, and if you get that successful, then they'll move on to something else. But that is a lady that I just saw a complete turnaround fast. And there was a gentleman, and this was before magnifiers were good. It was the first magnifiers I ever had. I gave him one, and it was a handheld. It wasn't lit. It was just a regular handheld magnifier, and he took it and he held it up to a newspaper and he said, well, this is the first newspaper I've read in, I think he said, 2 years. Now, those are the ones that really, really touch you.
And that's why God brought you to where you were at, Angela, and you made a difference in those people's life. So did you work with many children or were your clients mainly adults?
Mainly adults. I had a few teenagers, but most of them were just adults, and they were a lot, at one time they became older than me. They were older than I am. They lost their sight later in life due to macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy.
What about community clubs? Were you members of any community clubs, Angela, like Lions Club, Rotary, anything like that?
Not those. I was a member not too long ago of a telephone Lions Club they were starting. And some things happened, and I got out of that. There was one club that I was a member of, though, and it was the Association of Service Agencies. It was related to my work. And all of the people who were in human service agencies, like Department of Human Resources or whatever each state calls them, a food bank, rehab, a bunch of all of the nonprofits, would get together every month, and we would have meetings, and there would be speakers, but we would share what was going on with our agency. And I went to that all of the time that I worked, because that's the best place to network. That's the only really community club I was in.
So 28 years, when did you retire?
2016.
And what do you feel like it was the time to retire, or was there particular reasons that caused you to retire?
Well, it was kind of a combination of both. It was time to retire because I was getting tired of it. And then in 2015, we found out my husband has some severe heart trouble. And anybody who's worked with state jobs understands that they send you to conferences quite a bit. They didn't have them in Dothan. I had to go to Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile. And I didn't want to be away from home that much because of him. Now, he was fine then, but I just didn't want to be away from home. So, and I was tired of the job, too, so it was just time to retire.
And that's a good way to bring me to my next question. When did you meet your husband, Terry? And tell us how you two met and when you got married.
Well, he was one of my consumers. He moved into the area, and he was by himself because he left his first wife. And so I had to mark appliances and get him some stuff that he could use in the home. And then this was in 2005, I think. Maybe it was late 2004. It was late 2004, the November or something, 2004. And then we had our first date in March of 2005 after I closed his case. And then we married March 4th of 2006.
And do you and Terry have children?
No, I was in my 40s. And so I didn't want to. And then I knew, too, eventually I would retire. And if I had children, I couldn't retire when I wanted to. So there was a lot of factors there.
How did Terry propose to you, Angela?
We were in Mia's, the place where we had our first date. And we were sitting at a table, and he just asked me to marry him. And just easy. Wasn't anything. It was just easy. Like, we were talking here. It was... And that's how it happened.
Angela, who in your life has been the biggest role model?
I would say my great-grandmother, Mary Farmer. Most people don't get to see their great-grandmothers, but I did. She was just, you know, when you think of that chapter in Proverbs, chapter 31, that talks about the woman who did all this business and all that sort of stuff and how she was a... That, you know, everybody knew her and all that kind of stuff. I can't remember exactly what it was talking about, but you know the chapter I'm talking about. She didn't have a business or anything, but she was patient. And my great granddaddy was a bear. That man lived to be 99 years old, but he could be just cruel to people in what he said, and he embarrassed her. But she was prissy. I mean, she was just this godly woman. And if she took it off of Pa, honey, she could take it off of anybody. But she just had the qualities that I knew I'd never have because I'm too mean. And I just really admired her.
What did your grandmother instill in you?
This great-grandmother? I guess if you put it into words, she just showed me what it was like to be a proper woman. What it was like to be submissive in ways I wouldn't be. But she just instilled in me, I guess, my great-grandmother, the love of God and just what a woman should be just by watching her. It's nothing she said to me. I can't tell you, you know, she didn't sit down and just talk to me. But it's just through watching her behavior.
And as you said, not many of us had opportunities to see our great-grandmothers. Is there anything in your life that you wish you could do over or change?
Honestly, I can say no. I've tried to do everything to the best of my ability. You know, I hate to second-guess anything. So I guess I would say no. I might have been in sororities if I was in college, but that's just because now there would be computers and things I could study easier. I think things would be easier for me in that regard. But honestly, no. I can't think of any era that I would relive.
Well, as you've mentioned early in the interview and talked about when we talked about school, your love of singing. So, and I've heard you sing in on stage and you have a beautiful voice. So do you have a favorite musician, a favorite artist?
I can't say that I have somebody that just stands out. I like Barry Manilow is one that I really like because you can understand. I think he just did it this way. He gets to the heart of ladies. That's pop. My favorite female singer is a country singer. No, actually. I like Amy Grant's voice on the in the gospel front. And Crystal Gayle would probably be my favorite country singer. So I just have kind of a, I have favorites in all in different genres.
I hear you. Same here. I like all kinds of music, but rap, I don't want any part of that. Angela, if you could travel anywhere in the world, money is no object, where would you want to go and why?
I think I would like to go to Canada, and I don't really know why, except there are some people I know here who live there, and I would just like to see some of it because, you know, you got the French-Canadian cultures and a lot of the different cultures there, so I would just kind of like to go. I think that's where I'd want to go.
Well, we know that you've traveled a lot with work. What about on a personal? Have you and Terry traveled anywhere?
No, not really. There was a lot of things going on. We went to the beach one time. He had never actually been on the beach, so we went to Panama City for a couple of days, and that was a lot of fun. We just couldn't get away a whole lot. Because of circumstances, I love the beach. And that's where, when we went, that's where we went. Now, on our honeymoon, we went to Eufaula Lake Point Resort. That was a nice, quiet, peaceful place to be. A lot of people go to places where you have to just go, go, go on their wedding. And I wanted somewhere where I could just clear my cobwebs out. And so that's where we decided to go.
It sounds lovely. Angela, what is your favorite kind of food?
Unfortunately, it's sweets. And really, my favorite flavor is mint. I like chocolate and I like mint.
Angela, what is on your bucket list?
I honestly have to say I do not have one. Like I said, I'm pretty boring. But I do not have a bucket list. I've thought about it. I guess if... I don't really have anything on my bucket list.
I know that we've talked a little bit about your faith in God, Angela, and early on in the interview, you said you would share some things with us. It is pretty evident to all of us that you have a strong faith in God, that you're strong in prayer, and not only do you, I guess, walk it, but you talk as well, and you know and study the scriptures. So tell us a little bit about your faith.
I was in church from the time I was old enough for my mother to bring me. And my granddaddy was a preacher, so a lay preacher, though. He didn't go to school or anything. So I was in the church, and my daddy did some preaching, and my uncle did some, and so I was surrounded by faith, and when I was 12, I became a Christian, and when I was at the school for the blind, you know, my parents were real strict about things, and they said, you know, you don't need to dance. So we were dancing in PE, and I mentioned it, and the teacher made fun of me, so I was persecuted a little bit from my faith, but I just grew up knowing that God would always be with you, no matter who else was, and I took it to heart, and I never lost it. So many people go to school and they lose it. They go wild, they drink, and they just lose it, and I just never lost that. I guess I didn't really study the scriptures, though, a lot, even though I had my faith, until I became an adult, and it was probably in my 30s. Before I tried to make, or no, it was my 40s. Before I tried to make it a habit to read the Bible every single day. So like a lot of people, my faith was in, it came in stages. I believed and I knew who God was, but I didn't really start studying the scriptures till I was in my 40s. And it just got better and better from there. Anything I go through, I can cry a lot through it, but I pray. And I've had people in my life who had role modeled a lot of that. One of my drivers that worked with me from the state, she would say, "Thank you, Father," if she avoided a wreck or if she found something, or, you know, she was always talking to God. And until I met her, I just never thought about, I always thought God was this big being up there that you believed in and he would help you. But I didn't understand that deep personal relationship until I saw her. You know, my faith has grown year by year, and I hope we all do that. And different people like this driver and Parker and other people that I'm around and that I listen to have helped shape that. My granddaddy baptized me, so my faith was shaped from the very early years of my life.
Angela, leading up to a question here, the coronavirus is affecting the world, not just here in the States, but it's worldwide, and it has come personally home to you. How has that affected you and Terry?
With me, I found out that I was exposed to corona 2 days after I started really coughing and getting a headache. With me, I had a lot of the symptoms of tiredness, and I had a high fever and really fatigued. And I tried to keep it away from the house. I got it at a church function. Or I think I do, and because several of us in one particular group got it. And because of Terry's heart condition, I tried to keep it away from the house. I'm pretty well over it now. My hair is falling out, and I don't know if it's corona or if it's stress or what. So I don't know. I may be still getting effects from it. My husband, and I didn't have pneumonia. I fought it off with Tylenol, cough syrup, with codeine, and that's it, and rest. Now, I was not tested. I just know I had it because a week or so later, my husband was tested, and he was positive. So I know that I had it because I had a lot of the symptoms. My husband, on the other hand, has had pneumonia with his. He had two stints in the hospital with it. He had to go to inpatient rehab because he lost a lot of strength in his legs and all of that from pneumonia and his heart condition. And he is still recovering. He is still getting physical therapy and home health. So this stuff has really hit our house. And I have to say that if I didn't have God, I don't think I could have gotten through it because you really get tired and you feel bad, and I don't like watching my husband go through what he's going through. So it has really affected our house.
Thank you for sharing that, Angela. And we are very thankful. Many prayers have been going up for you and Terry, and we're just thanking God that he's restoring both of you to health. One question before I open it up to the members to ask questions. Before I ask my last question, Angela, is there anything that we have not covered that you would like to share with us?
No, I think you've covered every aspect of my life. There's not a lot to it, but I've enjoyed every minute of it. I think I'm where God wants me to be, and I'm glad I found VIP.
And that leads up to my last question, and then we'll open it up to the members. Angela, when did you become a member of VIP, and how has it changed your life?
I became a member of VIP, I think, and I meant to see if I could find that. I didn't look. I think it was in 2018, and I want to think it was something like September, late September or early October or something like that. You know, I've just met a lot of good and interesting people at VIP. I've had friendships that I've made here. And I never knew that I would be hosting a prayer event. Trin helps me when she can. We co-host it. But I just never knew how A, how many people would come to it, and B, it is just amazing how many prayers have been answered in that group. I mean, we have had, man, I can't even count them. And it's there's a special bond when you pray for each other's needs and you talk to each other and you watch these prayers being answered. There's no way to describe that. So I'll invite you, even if you don't want to pray, if you just want to pray silently, come on in, because we'll be glad to have you. And if you'll get on the prayer forum, if you don't really want to come in and you have prayer requests, send those. We'll pray for them too. Sorry, I had to put my plug in, because I just think it's such an important event for people who feel like they need it.
I agree 100%. And it takes prayers for prayers to be answered. And so thank you, Angela and Trin, for hosting that event on VIP. Okay, folks, I'm going to open up the key to members to ask Angela any questions. If you'll ask one question at a time, and if you'll unkey and let Angela answer the question before anyone else keys up, I would appreciate that very much. And Angela, if someone asks something that you really don't want to answer, just ask them to move on. So who has the first question for Angela?
This is Jack Crawford, and it's not a question. I just want to say thank you for the particular time in my life, and you know what I'm talking about, Angela. When we first met back at E.H. Gentry, when you just helped me through a difficult time, just talking for a few minutes, and I just never have forgot it. I just want to thank you.
I just want to say, Angela, it's Bernie. I enjoyed your story, and you and Terry can come to Canada anytime you like, and we would welcome you.
Jack, honestly, I appreciate that. I did not know I had helped you through anything. That's been a long time ago, but I'm glad I was able to do that for you. And Bernie, if I came to Canada, I would want to meet you and Frankie.
I enjoyed the story too, Randall.
Angela, you know how much all the good conversations we have and try to solve all the world's problems together. And I think I found your life interesting. God bless you and Terry both. And thank you for being so faithful in leading out in that prayer in the morning. I can't tell you how it's changed me. And I love you both, and God bless you.
Anyone else have a question for Angela?
Yeah, well, I first met Angela on Out of Sight when she was hosting the donut shop and then left, and I, of course, took over. But I make it a point to, after I leave the donut shop, to come and join Angela and the rest of the crowd in the patio. And when there's no patio, I feel lost. So thank you, Angela.
You're certainly welcome. I enjoy doing that one, too. I can't always make it because, you know, we have appointments and things, but I've just met a lot of good people here.
Anyone else have a comment or a question?
Hey, Angela, it's Wesley from New Jersey. I just wanted to thank you, whether it be here or on the gathering, when we have our afternoon chats or our evening chats that we used to have, and even coming in here on the patio, too. It's always been a blessing to hang out with you and Terry and listen to the Opry train and all that good stuff. So really enjoyed your sharing of your testimony and stuff tonight. It's really good.
Anyone else?
Hi, Angela. This is Tammy Lynn. Thank you so much for such a great interview, and you're very inspirational. And I think I've been missing out on that prayer group, so I need to check into that. One of my questions for you is, do you read, and what are your favorite, especially Christian authors?
Do I read? Yes, it is my escape from the world. Christian authors. I like Karen Kingsbury. I've read some Christian Christmas stuff by Donna Van Leer. If you hadn't asked me. Now, I don't know if she's considered Christian or not, but a lot of these people who write these Amish books, like Beverly Lewis, she's one of my favorites. Those are clean. Terry Blackstock is a good Christian author. My husband keying me over there. I like her. Debbie Maycumber has some real clean ones. And those are just the ones off the top of my head. I love reading. I've read 63 books this year, I think. 60-something.
Thank you. Very nice. Yeah, it's really hard to find a book club that reads a good, clean Christian book. So thank you for that. And thank you for being you. And I really look forward to getting to know you better, too. And this was an awesome interview.
Yeah, thank you, Angela, for your interview. It was great. And I also want to thank you for the great job you've done on the site and the events you host. Great to have you with us.
Any other questions or comments?
I was just going to comment, Angela. It was back when I was telling you about you helping me. It was back when I broke up with Teresa.
Oh, gotcha.
Angela, I really enjoyed your interview. The whole thing was a great testimony. I just think it's great how you've been able to stick really close to God and, you know, you give him the credit for who you've become. I'm so glad that you were able to make it through the COVID thing. I was very concerned about both of you. I just thank you so much for agreeing to do this event here. And yeah, we enjoy you too. I always enjoy talking to you.
Anyone else have a last question? Angela, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be the VIP of the month of November. I have enjoyed learning more about your life and just hearing your wonderful testimony, as Mar said, giving God all the praise and the glory. I'd like to announce that the VIP of the month of December will be December 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern here in the Village Square. And December's VIP will be our own Mark Due. So please put that on the calendar. It's an interview that you will not want to miss. Should be very interesting. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out and supporting this event and coming out and listening to Angela tell us her life story. Angela, if you will, introduce your favorite song. And then we'll play Angela's favorite song and end the interview. So thank you, everybody. Good night and God bless. Angela?
My song that I chose, it's a secular song. I chose I Made It Through the Rain by Barry Manilow. When I was in graduate school, that was played in one of my counseling classes that I had. We all go through tough times. And I see this song as a celebration of getting through it. Now, in the song, he doesn't give God the glory. But we can all make it through the rain in our lives as long as we give God the glory and just find ways of surviving.
Plays through all the rainy days, and somehow he survives. He keeps his music warm, protects it from the storm until his luck arrives. The sun appears, getting him through those weather-beaten years. I made it through the rain. I kept my songs protected. I made it through the rain. I kept my point of view. I made it through. Self-respected by the others who got rained on too and made it through. true musician plays, 'cause music must be made. Before you draw the crowd, you pour your heart out loud and start your own parade. And when you've played the clouds away, that's when you know that you can finally say, I made it through the rain. I kept my songs protected. I made it through the rain. I kept my point of view. I made it through the rain and found myself respected by the others who got rained on too and made it.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.